This podcast is supported by FedEx.
FedEx offers picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. on Saturday and 50% on Sunday.
See the FedEx service guide for delivery information.
FedEx Ground service is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See what FedEx can do for your business.
Absolutely, positively, FedEx. Today's show is sponsored by Acura.
The spirit of performance is what defines Acura.
And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet.
Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own.
Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Airbnb.
It's wedding season.
Yes, it is. What's going on, baby?
Alex and I just got invited to a beautiful venue for the wedding of a childhood buddy of mine.
Lovely. Can't wait to hear about
it. We got babysitters. We're all set to go.
And the first thing that you did, Jack?
Book a hotel for the wedding.
Okay. Second thing that you did?
List my place as available that weekend on Airbnb.
Millions of people host on Airbnb, but millions more have never even thought about hosting.
Here's the thing. We've said it's great to make money while you sleep. Actually, Warren Buffett said that.
Well, when you're an Airbnb host, you make money while you sleep and while someone else sleeps.
That's why anytime I'm traveling, I immediately jump into Airbnb and set my house as available. It's that easy.
So Yetis, your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And this is Friday, the real Friday, July 22nd. And today's pod is the best one yet.
It's a T-boy. It's also the final day of a big stock winning week, Nick.
It's also my half birthday. Thanks for mentioning it, Jack. Totally appropriate to send me half a gift or half a birthday cake, but it looks like that wasn't on your schedule.
Oh, you didn't get the one shoe I sent you? The one croc?
I'm only going to hold it half against you. Let's leave it at that. Jack, what's our first story?
FaZe Clan just became the first pure-play professional video game team stock.
They're like pro athletes, but they use their thumbs.
And now they're on the stock market.
Publicly traded.
For our second story, AT&T just had their worst day in 20 years because you paid your phone bill a couple days late.
And so did everyone else.
For our third and final story, this is a big one. One Medical, the boutique chain of doctor's offices, has been acquired by Amazon.
And it's got Jack and I thinking two words. Whole
Foods.
You could have really messed with me there on that one.
But before we hit that wonderful mix on Nick's half birthday.
The perfect mix to go into a weekend with. I love this mix, man.
Yetis, you all know that Facebook has officially changed their name to Meta.
That's why Zuck called his coworkers Meta Mates.
But there's a problem here. Meta isn't the only Meta-branded company in this universe.
Or in the metaverse.
Mark Zuckerberg's Meta is a social media company.
But the first Meta, the other Meta, is a company named Meta that's an augmented reality startup.
Which brings us to this news. The smaller, original Meta company is suing the bigger Meta company over the word Meta.
Because Zuck's Meta, Zuck the name Meta, from that company Meta.
But even that original startup Meta didn't invent the term Meta either.
No, Jack and I jumped in T-boy style. Little Meta actually zucked Meta too.
Because science fiction author Neal Stephenson created the word Meta back in 1992 in the novel Snow Crash.
So neither Meta nor Meta created the word Meta. Neal Stephenson did.
And yet Meta is suing Meta for zucking Meta.
Even though Meta zucked Meta from a sci-fi book.
Now technically, legally, two companies can be named Meta as long as they're in different industries.
Or if they use the term Meta in different ways.
But Little Meta says Big Meta has such a bad reputation, it's rubbing off on Little Meta.
So Zuck's Meta is messing with Little Meta's mojo.
That's why Little Meta is suing Big Meta.
This Meta situation is getting kind of meta.
Let's hit our three stories. 18 years before this song, two boys from the Northeast met in the dorm. They had an idea to cause a cultural storm. It's the best one yet, but the best is the norm. Jack, Nick, that's it. I don't even think they need to practice. 50%, that's a fat tip. T-Boy City on your at list. If you know, cause we ready to go. We can't wait no more, so just start the show. For
our first story, Jack's dad is not going to like this one.
No, he's not.
FaZe Clan is the first publicly traded video game team.
My dad is still mad that the Yankees play night games. Like, he wants all games to still be day games.
What's with these lights? What's with the lights?
How are kids supposed to watch when it's 11 o'clock and they got school tomorrow?
Yeti's FaZe Clan has figured out how to scale athletes. All right, Jack, the other day, didn't like your neighbor just like come over? I just remember our pod was like interrupted because there was a neighbor at the door and you like went to get him a Spindrift or something.
He's in seventh grade. He's 13 years old and he came over because he was locked out of his house.
Okay, that's nice. You had an extra key?
Well, I invited him to hang out in our living room until his mom came home and let him in.
I guess that's the right move.
So I offered him my Apple TV and I'm like, you can watch whatever you want.
He's like, you still own shares of Netflix? Why'd you do that?
No. Then he said, do you have YouTube? And I said, yes. And then at the end, when he left, I said, what'd you watch? He goes, I watched my favorite video gamer play Overwatch live on YouTube.
That observation was key, Yetis, because video games have made a major shift from individual activity to spectator sport.
My 13-year-old neighbor is obsessed with this video gamer he watches on YouTube.
And maybe that player plays for FaZe Clan, the most popular esports team.
80% of FaZe Clan's audience is age 13 to 34, just like my neighbor is.
Oh, and you want some more validation here? Jack, what's going on a recent issue of the Sports Illustrated cover?
It's not the Yankees and Derek Jeter.
No, it's not.
It's not the Patriots and Tom Brady.
Uh-uh.
It's not the Avalanche and some hockey player.
You're on a roll. Here we go.
It's FaZe Clan. FaZe Clan was on the cover of Sports Illustrated.
Try explaining that to your uncle who's still mad that Steinbrenner traded Jay Buhner.
Now, FaZe Clan just went public this week. They're trading on the stock markets under ticker symbol FaZe.
The stock fell 25% on its first day, but this is still a $700 million company. It's like, you know, it's an eighth of a Lyft.
FaZe Clan makes money with its team of 90 professional video game players who are really just online creators.
Okay, and this is where things get interesting. Bizzle actually joined the team in 2020. I'm sorry, I should back up. Jack, can you introduce us to Bizzle?
Bizzle is one of the 90 players on the team, and he is the best Fortnite player in the world.
Now, here's the key to this publicly traded sports team. Remember, it's a team.
Bizzle is just one of the players, but he has over 100,000 followers and subscribers each across 5 different social media platforms.
Okay, so FaZe Clan is leveraging that reach. They're making ad revenue on YouTube. They're selling merchandise on Instagram. They are building a betting platform.
Right, so that my neighbor can put money on Bizzle winning the Fortnite World Championships, which are coming up in Germany next.
Okay, we should check his age on that one, but still, it sounds like a good move.
And that is how FaZe Clan made $53 million last year, because each employee, each teammate, each gamer,
all of them,
is really an online creator.
So Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over at FaZe Clan?
Pro athletes are simply content creators who are in fantastic shape.
Besties, why is LeBron the best? It's because he compels us to watch. And watching, that's your eyes, that's the audience, that's the money.
The NBA sells tickets, they sell merchandise, and they sell TV deals based on that incredible content that LeBron creates.
Yeah, well, our buddy Bizzle is a gamer just like LeBron, but he uses his thumbs instead of his biceps.
Bizzle creates compelling, watchable Fortnite content.
He monetizes his product very similarly to how LeBron does. It's just more Gen Z focused.
LeBron depends on your uncle paying $100 a month for cable.
Bizzle depends on Jack's neighbor watching him play Twitch live in Jack's living room.
Professional athletes, Yetis, they're simply content creators.
And with video games, they don't have to be in fantastic shape. For our second story, AT&T just had their worst day in 20 years.
Because you're paying your cell phone bill 2 days late, and that means everything.
Okay, Yetis, let's just set the scene for you. You got an A on the paper. You were named MVP. You got guac for free.
What do you do in this scenario? You call mom and you stick that report card up on the fridge.
Boom, you call your mother. Well, AT&T, they're celebrating too. What's going on at AT&T, Jack?
AT&T just announced 800,000 new wireless customers last quarter.
Sit down, stand up, sit back down again. 800,000 new customers in just the last 3 months.
AT&T's like, mom, I did it! 800,000 new subscribers.
They said I could only do 500, and look at me now.
Mom was celebrating. AT&T's investors were not celebrating.
Yeah, here's the problem, Yetis. The stock of AT&T, it fell 8%. Worst day in 20 years.
They burned the report card.
So, Jack, let's get this straight. AT&T just added the entire population of San Francisco to its business, and yet Wall Street wasn't even impressed.
The reason? You're paying your bill for AT&T 2 days later than usual, And so is everyone on your contact list.
Boom. That's why CEO John Stankey got on the microphone stand and said, hey, is this thing on? I just want to clarify something here.
John Stankey wanted to reassure investors that customers are paying their monthly bill like usual, and they're paying it on time.
Right. He's just like, wait, it's just that they're paying 2 days later on average than they usually would pay.
So let's say the average customer pays on a Monday.
Mondays.
This last quarter, for some reason, they paid on Wednesday.
Tuesday was hard for me. Wednesday, I had this thing, and then I'll just do it on Wednesday.
So this is very strange. Nick and I figure as long as everyone is paying their AT&T bill on time, that's what matters, right?
Well, that's what Jack and I figure, but apparently that's not what investors figure. They strongly disagree.
Investors think that those 2 days of lateness mean everything.
Now, Jack and I are not going to quote your mom about the value of being on time in this case, but we are going to quote Will Ferrell. So, Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over at AT&T?
To quote Ricky Bobby, if you ain't leading, you're last.
Okay, so Ricky Bobby actually said, you know, if you ain't first, you're last. But you know what we're talking about. You get the point. We're talking about leading indicators here.
A leading indicator is data you can see today that tells you about the future.
Yeah, profits, for example, are not a leading indicator. Profits tell you about today and yesterday.
AT&T's profits last quarter were great. They nearly doubled compared to last year.
But if you buy AT&T stock because of that, you're going to be last.
Yeah, because the stock fell yesterday, not due to the great profits, due to the leading indicators.
If you're taking two more extra days than usual to pay your bill, it's a sign you're concerned about how expensive that bill is.
And that is a leading indicator that you may downgrade your AT&T plan or switch to a cheaper carrier.
Investors are always looking for leading indicators, and AT&T's leading indicator suggests that this next year could be tough.
If you're not acting on leading indicators, you're going to be last.
Shake and bake.
And now a word about our sponsor, Robinhood.
So for the last 3.5 years, Jack and I were running a startup within a startup, basically.
We turned our company, Market Snacks, into Robinhood Snacks, the news arm of Robinhood.
And at Robinhood, we co-hosted the Snacks Daily Pod that you got to know and love.
At Robinhood, we also got to hire an awesome team of news people who run the Robinhood Snacks newsletter.
Wild fact here, the biggest newsletter in America, Robinhood Snacks.
A key detail, though, not many are aware of, is the editorial independence.
So Jack and I set it up so that we could independently cover the most interesting and most important news stories of the day.
Robinhood's commitment to free, digestible news snack style was an awesome differentiator.
Yeah, if you're not investing in Robinhood yet, to get started, go to Robinhood.com/tboy and choose a free stock.
That's Robinhood.com/TBOY.
Certain limitations apply. All investments involve risk.
Robinhood Financial LLC, member SIPC.
By the way, Robinhood is no longer affiliated with us or the podcast. For our third and final story before the weekend, One Medical was disrupting the doctor's office, and then
Amazon just acquired One Medical to primify your doctor checkups.
Paging Dr. Bezos, paging Dr. Bezos, you're needed in urgent care.
Yeah, it is. Amazon issued a press release yesterday announcing they're buying One Medical for $3.9 billion.
And One Medical stock jumped 70%. They've got 760,000 members paying $200 a year to access 182 medical offices. And yeah, we've tried it.
I'm a former member.
I am a current one. It's a comfortable experience.
Yeah, it is. One Medical is like Equinox. It's a health club. But for seeing doctors, not dumbbells.
Like Equinox, One Medical has nicer furniture than your home does.
One Medical side hustles in interior design. It's really nice in there.
Just put your legs up on the West Elm sofa, why don't you?
Oh, could you put a coaster underneath that bio, please?
You're not met by a nurse at a One Medical. You're met by a concierge.
There's more succulents per patient than any facility we've ever seen.
They didn't send me home with a lollipop, Jack. They gave me a chocolate truffle from Switzerland. All right, so now that we're done ripping on One Medical, we should update you that Amazon has quietly built up a medical practice already.
Weren't we just raving on One Medical?
Yeah, that was kind of raving. In the meantime, Amazon, they've gone full Grey's Anatomy.
In 2018, Amazon acquired a pill delivery startup called PillPack.
And then they launched their own primary care clinic internally for employees.
And then they embarked on an ambitious voyage with JPMorgan Chase and Warren Buffett to disrupt healthcare altogether.
That thing fell apart, but still they managed to launch an online pharmacy during the pandemic.
And now they're buying brick and mortar medical clinics.
But funny thing Jack and I noticed here, within the healthcare industry, this part of the industry is like the totally least profitable.
Pharmaceuticals, that's the healthcare profit puppy.
Prescription meds are selling for a price 10 times to like 100 times the cost to actually make them.
On the other end, paying for expensive offices and paying doctor salaries?
Yeah, Jack, one medical, it's not a profit puppy.
But that is exactly why Amazon finds it attractive.
Yes.
Amazon thrives on tiny little profit margins, but on a massive scale.
Amazon likes to surgically slice a little profit from a whole bunch of patients, not remove a big profitable organ from the patients.
And now Amazon can bundle this premium healthcare service into Amazon Prime and keep Prime stickier than ever.
There we go. So Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over at Amazon and One Medical?
There is nothing more expensive than having to play catch up.
Okay, Yetis, the three biggest purchases that Amazon has ever made, they were all to play catch up.
Whole Foods, MGM Studios, and now One Medical.
For example, Amazon dominated every e-commerce vertical except for food, so they had to catch up.
So they had to acquire Whole Foods for $14 billion.
Or Netflix, Disney, and Apple. They were all pumping out streaming content, so Amazon had to catch up.
So they had to drop $9 billion to acquire MGM Studios.
And now, with One Medical, Amazon is buying a physical footprint. It's buying trust. It's buying a fancy premium brand.
Amazon is catching up by acquiring entire companies. It's fast, but it's expensive.
In a running race, you burn more energy sprinting to catch up.
In a business race, you burn more cash acquiring to catch up.
Jack, can you whip up the takeaways for us for the real Friday?
FaZe Clan is a very unusual stock. It's a team of video gamers.
Just like LeBron, they're content creators, just not in fantastic shape.
For our second story, AT&T just announced that the past quarter was great, but they hinted that future quarters may be rough.
As Ricky Bobby said, if you ain't leading, you're last.
Our third and final story is Amazon. They're acquiring One Medical for $3.9 billion.
Because no game is more expensive than playing catch-up. Now time for the best fact yet. This one tweeted in by Derek Ernst from lovely Minneapolis, Minnesota.
There's a heat wave coming to the U.S. It's here right now. Stay cool, Yetis.
But if you look at a thermometer this weekend, you're gonna feel lonely too.
Because no one uses Fahrenheit.
In fact, Derek whipped up a list for us like nobody, no, like hardly anyone uses Fahrenheit.
The only countries using Fahrenheit are us.
Yeah.
Belize.
Great country.
Palau.
Like it.
And the Bahamas.
A lot of islands.
And the Grand Cayman Islands.
That's who's using Fahrenheit as their official temperature scale. It's a fraction of the world.
Oh, and Nick, what's the only temperature that's both the same for Fahrenheit and Celsius?
It's a trick question. It's not a temperature. It's a color.
The temperature is -144. Look it up.
That's the correct answer. Yetis, you look fantastic this week. And if you want to help this pod grow, the number one thing you can do at brunch is HYHTBOY.
Ask the person next to you, have you had the best one yet?
If you know, you know.
They're going to be like, yeah, these Huevo Troncheros are good.
Dr. Bezos. Dr. Bezos.
Have a great weekend.
We'll see you Monday. And before we go, happy birthday to Yeti Jason Fisher over in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
And happy 45th to Akane Kadani, who's 45 and working harder than ever in Brooklyn.
And Kingsley's turning 28 over in Big Bear.
Happy 22nd birthday to Sophie.
And happy 600th day with her boyfriend Steve.
Congrats to Steve.
And Jen So just got LASIK surgery in Los Angeles.
Smash those glasses. Melt those contacts.
And Marissa just got a new job as a financial advisor, but Jack, she's studying for the SIE right now.
Brutal test. Nick and I both took it.
We did.
We both passed it.
You got this.
And happy one-year wedding anniversary to Jordan and Delaney Clements in Lockhart, Texas.
And Greg and Kelly enjoy that five-year anniversary in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Congrats on getting engaged to Rena and Noah, who got engaged in Washington, D.C.
Celebrate that win.
Happy half birthday, Nick. Round up. This is Jack. I own stock of Amazon, Disney, and Netflix. And Nick and I both own stock of Apple and Robinhood.
And now a word about our exclusive sponsor, Robinhood.
Look, we're not tech guys. We're not engineers.
Uh-uh.
Nick, I'm no product manager.
You look great, but we're not technically. When our computer's not working, Jack and I turn it off, and then we turn it back on again.
But when we moved to California to join Robinhood, we were in tech's mecca.
So we were soaking up as much about the tech industry as we could.
One thing we saw about the tech industry at Robinhood was insane customer focus.
Every product launched, every tweak made to the app was a laser-focused move on customers.
Robinhood would be interviewing hundreds of users to figure out if one tweak of one button in the app would improve the experience.
Inside of Robinhood, we saw that everything the company did was focused on the best outcome for you, the customer.
If you're not investing on Robinhood yet, to get started, go to Robinhood.com/TBoy and choose a stock.
That's Robinhood.com/TBOY.
Certain limitations apply. All investments involve risk.
Robinhood Financial LLC, member SIPC.
By the way, Robinhood is no longer affiliated with us or this podcast. What is a group of seagulls called?
Seagulls.
No.
Not a flock.
Not a flock, actually.
A gull? Is it messing with my head? Is it a gull?
No, it's a great
Are you Googling the answer
I am now?
You're asking me a trick question and you're Googling the answer? You're like, no. Nick, you want to take one more guess at this one while I just wait for you over here?
Are you ready?
You know, I can Google it too. Never been so built up and then so crushed down.
It's called a squabble of seagulls.
You know what? That was worth the wait.
Okay.
It was worth the wait.
And flamingos is called a flamboyance.
Okay, now you're just making things up.
If you like The Best One Yet, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
And before you go, tell us a little bit about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
We want to get to know you.
This episode is brought to you by the effortlessly scrumptious bite of Skinny Pop Popcorn. Imagine this: perfectly popped, endlessly delicious kernels, a symphony of just three simple ingredients: popcorn, sunflower oil, and a sprinkle of salt. No compromise, just pure snacking freedom. And hey, if you're up for a twist, dive into flavors like zesty white cheddar to sweet and salty kettle. Every bite's a delight, light and oh so tasty. Shop Skinny Pop now.